Welcome to our Together on Mission podcast, where we chat about what it looks like to apprentice ourselves to Jesus, to be with Him and like Him in each moment and in each relationship. Our host is Travis Twineman, the lead pastor at the Inland Vineyard Church in Corona, California. In this season of our podcast, we will focus on Every Day with Jesus, as we seek to begin our day with scripture, meditation, prayer, and a bit of journaling. Our goal is not to simply have the talk with Jesus in the morning and then go about our normal day, but rather to begin a conversation with Jesus that continues throughout the day.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Every Day with Jesus, which is the season that we are in our Together on Mission podcast. And I'm thrilled that you are here. If you've been traveling with us for a while, or if you're just new to the podcast, welcome, welcome. My name's Travis, and it's good to be with all of you this morning. It really is. I feel like we're in for a bit of a treat because this is one of the best, you know, most powerful passages, stories, I think, anywhere in all 66 documents of Scripture, and it's going to be familiar to most of us, and it's just so, so good from so many different angles. Well, after I said that, that's kind of a high bar, but I think that this passage exceeds whatever bar anybody could ever set. So anyway, if you are new with us, grab a Bible, a translation that you're comfortable with. Grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. Find a place that is comfortable, maybe quiet, a place you can count on. And what we do is read a passage, and I make a few comments historically, and then I try to help us just kind of roll around in it as far as application. And then I ask a question, and then that launches us into a conversation with Jesus where we get to pray and meditate, maybe read the passage again, and just begin that conversation that then lasts throughout the day. And we don't say amen at the end of this time in the morning because we don't want to say amen yet, because prayer is what lasts throughout the day. So tonight, as we're falling off to sleep, we can say amen because we've spent the day with Jesus. And that is what God's heart is all about. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And the title of the podcast this morning is Throwing Stones. Now, you may notice as you go to John chapter 8 that this passage is set with a little bit of a different type, a little bit of a different font in most of your Bibles. And you're going to find an interesting paragraph right above John 8, probably. It says, the earliest manuscripts and many other ancient witnesses do not have John 7:53 through 8:11. Now, don't let that worry you. This has been considered a portion of Scripture since early in church history, and it is included in every translation of the Bible that I know of. At the same time, this paragraph flags us that in some of the earliest manuscripts, now, we don't have the original documents that John or Peter or Luke wrote. No original documents exist, only copies, and actually copies of copies of copies. That's a whole nother story, the process of canonization. But there are a couple of passages, like the ending of Mark and John 8, and maybe one or two others, where you're going to get this little paragraph. The earliest manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not contain John dot, 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 dot. Don't let that worry you. It just says that, you know, some of the earliest manuscripts don't have this text. But so many of the good manuscripts do. And most, as even early on in the history of the church, have considered this bit to be Scripture. So let's jump in at verse 3, John 8, verse 3. And remember, the title of the podcast is Throwing Stones. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, It commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? Now, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman who was standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." So, first things first, Jesus is just absolutely irresistible. I mean, this story, his calm, his protection of her, his willingness to stand up, the words he uses, the character he exudes, it's just unbelievable. And I know I say this a lot, but I think we need to continue to realize that the first century disciples did not follow Jesus because they were afraid if they didn't, something bad would happen to them in the afterlife. They followed Jesus because he was stinking irresistible. And this is one of those stories that just is unbelievable. Notice first that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they made her stand in front of Jesus and the crowds. They're exposing her guilt. They're throwing stones before they're even attempting to throw stones. And then they're leveraging their authority and the authority. I'm doing quotes. You can't see me, but I'm doing quotes with my hands. They're leveraging their authority and, in quotes, the authority of Moses against her. And at this point, many, many rabbis would have backed down. I mean, she was caught in the act of adultery. And these Pharisees, teachers of law, they're the power brokers, man. They can make life miserable for you. But Jesus doesn't back down. He does bend down and begins to write in the sand. Now, what is he writing? Why did he do that? Nobody knows. It's an interesting biblical question. Is he stalling? I don't think so. Is he trying to release the tension, you know, in the situation? Maybe, but I don't think so. Some have said, well, he's writing the sins of the people that have the stones in their hands, and he's writing the sins of the older people first, and then the younger people, and that's why later on the older people leave first. I don't think so. I really have no idea what he's writing. It's going to be interesting when we see Jesus and get to talk to him audibly, whether we die or whether he returns, whichever happens first. It's going to be an interesting thing to ask him, "Hey, Jesus, what were you writing in that sand? I'm curious." I think it's showing that Jesus is not anxious. He's not caught up in the dialogue in the sense of, "Oh my gosh, I got to answer. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, this is such an intense situation. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" I think he's just calm. He is able to bend down and write in the sand even when someone questions him, and then he stands up and answers, and then he goes back down and writes in the sand. I think it's just saying he's not caught off guard by this. He's flowing. Whatever he's doing is flowing from deep center. And he says, and this is one of the greatest lines in all of the documents, in all of literature, in the history of the world, he says, "If any one of you is without sin, go ahead and hurl the first stone." And then they just begin to walk away. Of course, what the heck are you going to do when somebody says something like that, the way that he said that? And then he looks at her, because it's just him and her, and he makes it all about her. He's present to her. "Who has condemned you?" And how she said this, we don't know, but it had to be something like, "No one. I can't believe it. I can't even believe what's happening, but no one, no one." And then he says, "Neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin. Go be free. Go and be free." Now, Jesus could have thrown a stone at her. but I couldn't have. And you couldn't have. I mean, honestly, if we want to be honest, as we look into this story, we see a mirror. See, we are the woman. And we are the mob that wants to throw stones at other people. And those two are connected because even though we can't own it, we are the woman. We are sinners. And because we're not willing to own that to the degree that we need to own that, what we do is we find other people that are sinning. We grab stones and we talk about them. Because if we can throw stones at other people that are sinners, we don't have to face the fact that we are. So being the woman and being part of the Pharisaic mob are actually really, really connected. And Jesus is the one that has the answer. I mean, we don't think of ourselves as either. But let's just play this little imaginary game. If somebody were to watch you live the next week, what you did, what you didn't do, what you do in public, what you do in private, what you say about people, how you talk about people. Let's actually make the game worse. What if there was a video camera that recorded you this last week because you didn't know it was happening? And then it was played for everybody to see what you do, what you don't do, how you talk about people behind closed doors or with your spouse, what you do publicly, what you do privately. Let's say your last week was observed. Do you think that you would be caught in the act of anything? Like this lady was caught in the act of adultery? And maybe that's not a very fun thing to think about, but would we be caught with stones in our hands? Would we be caught throwing stones? Would we be caught in the act of something? How do we talk about our enemy, a boss that we're not so sure whether we like, a neighbor, maybe even our spouse or our kids? Or would we be caught with a stone in our hands? Would we be caught in the act of something? And it's okay to own it. I'm owning it. Why don't you own it too? Let's just all own it. Let's just own it. And then we can actually hear the invitation of this passage, which is to be like Jesus, which is to receive, right, the word of no condemnation as the woman receives, which is to drop our stones as the mob drops their stones. And then this invitation to be like Jesus, a person that does not throw stones, a person that lives without condemnation. This invitation of this story. And so let's just have a conversation with Jesus. First, let's do the mirror thing. Let's recognize that we are the woman caught in the act of dot, dot, dot. Let's realize that we are the Pharisaical mob projecting and holding stones and throwing stones, probably because deep down we're insecure about whether we're condemned or not. And so finding someone else to throw stones at makes us feel better. Let's own that first, and then let's receive the word of no condemnation. Let's receive the word of go and be free, go and leave your life of sin, go and leave your life of judgment. So let the Spirit of God just drive the truth of the story into the soil of your soul in prayer, in meditation, in journaling. Enjoy a conversation with Jesus and let it continue throughout the day, and walk and talk with the one today that says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Go and be free. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by it today. If you would like to find out any more information about the Inland Vineyard Church or our services, download our app, which you can find in the Google Play or the App Store, or check out our website at www.inlandvineyard.org.